At the end of January, when we were last all in together like this, we looked at one verse in the Bible, a verse that was all about encouraging one another. And today, we're going to look at one verse from the Bible, a verse that is all about welcoming one another. You'll see it printed on the sheet. Do you see it there? It's Romans chapter 15, verse 7. And I'm going to read it. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. The eagle-eyed amongst you will notice that I've got a couple of tables and some chairs either side of me at the front. Can I invite, I need 8 helpers, really, to come and sit on these chairs. I need all these blue chairs occupied. So if you think you can sit quite well on a chair, please can you join me at the front and sit on one of these chairs? There's no particular, it doesn't matter, hands up. I mean, come, if you're enthusiastic, come. I just need 8 of you, that's all. When we run out of chairs, that's good. We've got 4 there. We're 1 short here. Can I have one more chair sitter over here? Oh, go on, here, Max. Go and sit over here. Brilliant. Okay. Have a look at these 2 tables. We live in a divided world, don't we? There's us, and there's them. There are the people who are very, very cool, and there are people who are uncool over there. There are people like us, and there are foreigners. There are people who live in big houses, and there are people who sleep on the streets. There is division, and that division hurts. It hurts, doesn't it, when someone won't talk to you because of how you look, or how you talk, or where you're from, or the clothes you wear. It hurts. That's why so many people in our world feel left out and lonely. And we long for this division, these 2 tables, to be healed. And the songwriters of the world wish that for the world to live as one. And the Bible says the only hope of that ever happening lies in the gospel. The gospel is the good news about what the one true God is doing. And what this one true God, the God of all people, is doing is he has sent his Son into the world to round people up from all nations and gather them together as one people. One rainbow family. And that's why Paul says to the Christians in Rome, therefore, welcome one another. Because the Christians in Rome sat at 2 tables. There was the table for the Jewish people and a table for the non-Jewish people. And Paul says, welcome one another. And the question is, what does it look like to welcome one another? What does it look like for these 2 tables to welcome one another? Now, I've got here a huge bowl of Maltesers, and I'm going to give them to this table. And I'd just like you to enjoy those Maltesers. Just dive in. Just help yourself. Okay? Well, if you can join in, dive into some more. Do you like Maltesers? I think you would if you tried them. Okay, now, there's this big bowl of Maltesers over here. Big bowl of Maltesers over here. How can we make the other table over there feel welcome? Should we go, hi? Should we just go, hi? Yeah? Wait, give them a little wave. Yeah? Now, just tell me, is this making you feel welcomed? They've given you a very friendly wave. What would make you feel welcomed? What do you think? What would make you feel welcomed?
Having some of those Maltesers. Oh, having some of those Maltesers. Do you think that would make them feel... Well, what should we do then? What should we do to make them feel welcomed?
Give them some.
Give them some Maltesers. What would be the nice way of giving them some Maltesers?
Sharing.
Okay, so why don't you bring your chairs over here? Bring your chairs over here. That's very nice, taking them some. Bring your chairs over here and join in, and everyone tuck into the Maltesers. I'm quite struck by how few Maltesers are being eaten. And you need to dive in. Yeah, that's share away. Brilliant. Do you see, welcoming them meant more than just waving at them. It meant including them. It meant sharing their Maltesers with them. Now, Junior Church have been learning about Ruth, book of the Bible in the Old Testament, about a woman called Ruth. Does anyone from Junior Church, do you guys remember where Ruth was from? Where was Ruth from?
Was it Moab?
It was Moab, yeah. And the thing is, the Moabites, the people from Moab, were enemies of God's people. And so when she arrived in Bethlehem, she had nothing to eat, and the people, they just steered clear of her. They said, well, she's from Moab. But one man welcomed her. Do anyone remember the name? Anyone in Junior Church remember the name of the man who welcomed her? Shout it out.
Boaz,
yes. And do you remember, how did he welcome her? Did you remember how he welcomed her?
Let her eat the barley.
Well, he let her eat the barley. And even more than that, he didn't just share his Maltesers with her. Reader, he married her. He married her. Shared his whole life with her. And then I love reading about Paul. Paul in the book of Acts, he hated Christians, do you remember? And he went around beating them up and getting them thrown into prison. And the Christians were very frightened of him. And then Paul met the risen Lord Jesus for himself. And Paul becomes a Christian. And he shows up at the house of a man named Ananias, and he knocks on the door, and it's Paul. Paul had been beating up Christians and throwing Christians into prison. And we would understand if Ananias kept his distance, if he was a little bit cool, if he just sort of went, hi, Paul. But do you remember what Ananias does? He invites him in and he calls him brother and he hugs him and he makes him a meal. He welcomes him. For years and years, a country called Sri Lanka was torn apart by fighting between two groups, the Sinhalese and the Tamils. And I was hearing from a man whose family fled Sri Lanka as refugees and ended up in Australia. And he became a Christian and he started a church for Sri Lankan refugees. And what happened was Tamils and Sinhalese started becoming Christians. And when they became Christians, the first thing they did was the Tamils would look for the Sinhalese, and the Sinhalese would look for the Tamils, and they would give each other a big hug and ask for forgiveness. And he said it was so moving to see people who were at war now living together as family. How are you getting on with the Maltesers there? Are you feeling quite welcomed? Are you feeling the love? I'm a little bit worried that maybe some of the other folk are not feeling the love. What do you think we can do about that? Do you think we should? We all probably ought. Just give them a little wave? No, more than a little wave, we probably need to give them the Maltesers. Do you think anyone wants a last dip in the Maltesers? Last dips. Okay. Yes. You're probably saving some for friends. And why don't you spin those round? So do you see what it means to welcome one another? I think this helps us when we meet new people on a Sunday, because the danger is we just go, hi. Welcome means sharing my Maltesers with you, sharing my life with you, saying, come and meet my friends. Hey everyone, this is Cecil, inviting you over to my home during the week, treating you like family because that is what you are. That is what God has made us, family. So Paul says, therefore, welcome one another. But it's not always easy, is it, to welcome other people. Think of the people who are hard to welcome. You're not really sure about talking to them. You wouldn't necessarily want to invite them into your home. Sometimes it's because they're very different from you. They're so different, you don't know how to connect with them, but mostly it's because of what they've done. The Moabites hurt the people of God. Paul had hurt Christians. In Rome, the Jews spent years looking down on the Gentiles. The Gentiles spent years mocking the Jews. How do you welcome someone who's hurt you? I wonder whether you can think of someone like that in your life. Maybe you could manage a hi, but sharing Maltesers? Hard. Look at the verse. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. If you're going to welcome them, you need to remember how Christ has welcomed you. See, I'm sitting there thinking about what they have done to me, how they didn't listen to me, how they didn't care about me, how they said nasty things about me. Not easy to welcome them. But then I think about what I have done to Jesus, how I didn't listen to him, how I didn't care about him, how I said nasty things about him, how I used his name as a swear word. And after what I have done, it's not easy for him to welcome me. Because when someone's hurt us, we kind of want to make them pay, don't we? But the wonderful thing about Jesus is he doesn't make me pay. For all that I have done, he pays. I didn't listen to him. I didn't care about him. I said nasty things about him. And he came down from heaven and he opened his arms on the cross and he welcomed me. And now he shares not just Maltesers with me, he shares everything he has with me. He shares his Father's love with me and calls me brother, sister. He owns the whole world. And you know, one day he will make the whole world new and he promises to share that with me forever. And best of all, he shares himself with me. So whatever anyone else in the playground does, what anyone else down the pub says, I'm never alone because he is always with me, for me. It's a wonderful thing to be welcomed by Jesus Christ. And when you take the wonder of it into your heart, it changes your heart and it changes the way you treat other people. Let me see if I can explain this. Now, can I borrow one of you? Yes? Very smartly dressed, young man. What's your name?
Matthew.
Matthew. Come and stand next to me, Matthew. Now, just come and stand here. Is that good? Okay. Now, in many ways, you might think Matthew and I are quite different. Maybe on a first glance, yeah? But the thing about me is I am sinful. Here is the shirt that represents the fact that I am sinful. This is the sinful shirt, okay? But that's not the whole story of my life. Jesus has welcomed me. Here is the Jesus has welcomed me cap. See, I am sinful, but Jesus has welcomed me. And what about Matthew here? We look quite different, don't we? But actually, Matthew is sinful. Can you put on the sinful, like I am sinful shirt? That's not the whole story of Matthew though. Because Matthew has been welcomed by Jesus. So he's got the welcome by Jesus cap on. So do you see, the world says, oh, you are so different. You're all so different. But the reason the good news of Jesus is the only hope for the world is because Jesus says, look at us. We're both the same. We're both wearing the I am sinful shirt, and we've both got the welcomed by Jesus cap on. We're both the same. Thank you so much, Matthew. You can keep those clothes on. They're just such a cool shirt. You might want to keep that on. I'm going to take my cap off. I've got another task for you to do in a moment, and it's this. Are you any good at building castles? Okay? Between you all, can you on that table see if you can build a really big and wonderful castle with those fruits? Okay? On the table for us all to see. Now, while they're doing that, I've got a story to tell. It's a story I love telling. It's the story of Barilla. I'm only allowed to tell it every 3 years, and it's been 3 years, so I'm allowed to tell it again. Richard Wurmbrand was a pastor, a Christian, in a country called Romania. And not so long ago, being a Christian in Romania meant you could be sent to prison. And Richard was sent to prison, and he was very badly beaten up in prison. And his wife's family were also sent to prison, and her parents and her sisters and her brother were all killed in prison. And in one of those prisons, there was a guard. And one day, Richard met a man who'd been one of those guards in one of those prisons, a man called Barilla. And Barilla had now become a Christian. He wasn't a guard in the prison anymore, but he was very troubled because he had been involved in killing Christians in prison. And he thought, I can't be part of a church. No Christian is going to welcome someone like me, not after what I've done. And so Richard says to Barilla, you think Christians won't welcome you? Well, come back to my house. There's someone I'd like you to meet. And they go back to Richard's house, and Richard says, in that room asleep is my wife. You were one of the guards who killed her family. And I'd like you to meet her. And Barilla panics, says, I must leave. And he says, and Richard says, no, you don't think Christians will welcome you, do you? Well, let's try an experiment. And here's the experiment. He says, let's try an experiment. I shall wake my wife and tell her who you are and what you've done, and I can tell you what will happen. My wife will not speak one word of reproach. She'll embrace you as if you were her brother, and she'll bring you supper, the best thing she has in the house. And so I went into the room, and I found my wife still sleeping calmly. And I woke her and gently said, there is a man here whom you must meet. We believe he murdered your family, but he has repented and is now our brother. And she came out in her dressing gown and put out her arms to embrace him. And they both began to weep and to kiss each other again and again. And I have never seen bride and bridegroom kiss with such love and passion and purity as this murderer and the survivor among his victims. And then, as I foretold, Sabina went to the kitchen to bring him food. How did she do that? How did she welcome Barilla, the man who'd killed her family? She welcomed him as Christ welcomed her. She knew she was sinful, and Christ welcomed her, and she knew Barilla is just the same. And as Christ welcomed her, she welcomed Barilla. I wonder if there's someone you can think of who's hard to welcome. Remember how Jesus welcomed you. Look at them and remember they're just the same as you. As Christ welcomed you, go welcome them. Go over to them. Maybe find them today. Go over to them, your brother, your sister, and give them a hug. You say, but why? Do you see how the verse ends? Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Do you see why? For the glory of God. God's glory is his brilliance. He's saying, welcome one another so that everyone would see how brilliant God is. How are you guys getting on with that castle? That's pretty good. That is a brilliant castle. That is a castle that you have built that shows us all that you guys are brilliant at castle making, don't you think? Wouldn't you all agree? Just, I need a bit more kind of affirmation here. Yes, that is a brilliant castle. Now, God is building people together into one family. He's building together Jews and Gentiles, black people and white people and single people and married people and young people and old people. He's building a rainbow people. And you're meant to look at what he's doing and see his brilliance. Because it's pretty easy to welcome your mates, isn't it? To people, the people who are like you. The people who agree with you on everything. The people who are your age. Anyone can do that. But when people welcome people who are hard to welcome, when people come together who wouldn't normally come together, that is supernatural. When you look around your small group, doesn't it sometimes hit you what an unlikely bunch you are? Don't you sometimes think that? Don't you think, what are we all doing together? Eating and laughing and crying and praying together? What? And you realize the only explanation for the love you have for one another is, this is what God is doing. And it makes you go, wow, isn't he brilliant? But friends, what would happen to our castle here? What would happen to our castle if we decided to get rid of all the yellow blocks? Shall we just get rid of all the yellow blocks? Say no yellow blocks allowed in our castle. Just get rid of all the yellow blocks. Just chuck them away. And what happens to the castle? What happens to the castle? What do you reckon? What's happened?
It falls down.
Say that again.
It fell down.
It all falls down. And when we welcome each other, all kinds of different people, we show the world God is brilliant. Look at what he's building. A rainbow people. But when we don't welcome all types of people, when there's no place in our church for yellow blocks, the church God is building comes tumbling down. And the world goes, God doesn't look brilliant to me. And that is why it matters. And that is why Paul calls us to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God, to show the world that he is brilliant. Thank you so much for your help. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to send you back to your seats. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you for how you have welcomed us at great cost. And we pray, as we prayed at the start, that you would make us more like you, that we would welcome other people, perhaps people who are hard to welcome. And we pray that we would love to do that, because we pray that we would do it to the glory and the praise of your name. Amen.